Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, live from the Hillside Medical Game Studios. Everybody, it is a winter wonderland out there. I, by the way, this shows you how stupid I am. Today, I woke up, and I knew it was going to snow, so I'm fully prepared for the snow. And I bought a snow shovel a couple of weeks ago, because last year when it snowed, we all remember that. Last year when it snowed on like Monday and it snowed on Wednesday and we were screwed for the whole week. But I live on a hill. My neighbor was shoveling snow every day. And I thought, you know, like, what are you doing shoveling snow? You know, it's coming back a couple days. And then it was, and they were able to move freely on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and I was not. So I learned my lesson the hard way. So I went out this morning, and I shoveled that snow, and then it all came back. So it didn't make much of an impact. Caroline Fenton on remote. How are you, Caroline?
Doing great, trying to keep warm. I actually have a pretty nice view from inside. While I'm inside and looking out at the snow globe, it looks like out there. But if I had to go out in it, I think that'd be a much different story.
I think it's going to shut down the city for like 3 days. I think like Saturday will be when people start getting out and about. But hold on, let me pull up the weather app on my phone. Try to figure out when, let's see. Yeah, 46 on Saturday, 46 and sunny. So everybody will be back to normal life on Saturday. So enjoy the next 2 days as it snows and snows and snows. And it's be a good time to remind you all that I get it. Stay safe on the roads. If you're on the road right now, stay safe. But if you're going to be working from home or if you're going to be staying at home, YouTube, you can pull it right up on your TV. Pull us right up. Search 102.5 The Game or Stillman and Company. So I want to start on this today, and that is Mike Vrabel. We talked yesterday about Titan fans over the weekend. The media never talks about Mike Vrabel. They never give Vrabel his due. He should be coach of the year. By the way, let me say this. Vrabel is the third betting favorite. It was Zach Taylor 1, Matt LaFleur 2, Vrabel 3. After listening to all the talk on TV, I think Vrabel's going to win the award. So for everybody out there that says Vrabel never gets his due, I think Vrabel is going to win the Coach of the Year award. Should he? Sure. I told you, I don't have a problem with Vrabel being Coach of the Year. The team went through a bunch of injuries. They won a bunch of games. They beat a bunch of good teams. They're probably going to be the number one seed in the AFC. I'm fine with it. I figure they give it to a guy whose team stunk last year, would probably give it to Zach Taylor. But either way, I don't, you know, great. But I was listening to the national media. This is where I got the idea that I think Vrabel's going to win the award. And Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN was talking about the job that Vrabel's done. And not just Vrabel, who should be in the running for the big time awards. But here's what he said about the Titans' current administration.
Mike Tannenbaum, who is your NFL coach of the year?
You know, I love both those guys. Work with Zach, know Matt very, very well. It's Mike Vrabel, and you could have the other 31 guys. Like, it's not that hard. They're the number one seed, and we keep talking about Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Josh Allen. Ryan Tannehill's been a good quarterback. They've gone to the next level. They have the number one seed, and they have missed so many players. They lost their first-round pick for the year, Caleb Farley. Had a huge free agent signing, Bud Dupree. He's been hurt. As Harry mentioned, A.J. Brown's been hurt. And now, oh, by the way, Julio Jones, Derrick Henry, both been hurt. Mike Vrabel's done an unbelievable job. John Robinson, their GM, if I had a vote, he's the executive of the year. And candidly, guys, it's not close. Like, we're overcomplicating this.
It's not close, he says. Robinson, executive of the year. Vrabel, coach of the year. Now, I am and I like John Robinson. You all know me. It's a lot easier to sell me on Vrabel coach of the year than it is Robinson executive of the year. The biggest move that he made, Julio Jones, has been an unmitigated disaster. The draft has been just abysmal. I mean, it's hard for me to get on Robinson for executive of the year. But then again, I guess you could say or do whatever you want. But here's the real question I have. What does this year mean for their legacies? What does this year mean for their futures? What does this year mean for your trust in them? And I'll ask it to you like this. Jeff Fisher never won coach of the year. He was coach of the Titans for forever. And the national media always talked about how good of a coach Jeff Fisher was. People forget. See, they remember Jeff Fisher with the Rams. And everybody sitting there saying that Jeff Fisher couldn't coach. And he was ruining Jared Goff. And he yelled at Eric Dickerson. And everybody remembers that. But Jeff Fisher with the Titans, every time the Titans had a bad season, and it was like, should they fire Jeff Fisher? TV was like, and if you fire Jeff Fisher, you will live to regret it. which I always thought was odd, but that's just me. But I keep going with this. Like short-term, long-term, legacies, things of that magnitude. If Vrabel wins Coach of the Year, does this mean that he's the Titans coach for the next 4 years? Has this season, what they've done, is that enough for you to be convinced that Vrabel should be the Titans coach for, let's say, 5 years, five more years? He's already been coach for 4 years. He's done a decent job. Five more years. Are you okay with that? What about Robinson? Every time they lose a game, we just get flooded with phone calls about Robinson because, oh, the draft was this, or, oh, free agency was that, or Clowney and Beasley and Julio and Farley and Isaiah Wilson and Dylan Raidens, and oh, my God. And yet, the guy might win Executive of the Year. Mike Tannenbaum, former general manager, says it's not even close. John Robinson should be Executive of the Year. And you know me when it comes to Robinson. 6 years, six winning seasons, four playoff appearances. I think it's hard to find that on the open market. Go call the New York Giants. Ask them how all their GM searching has done for them. So I get that. Like, Titan fans want their guys to win the award, but I think about it differently. I think about what it means for the short term and long term. Because when you win a title, that will last you like 3 years. And then after 3 years, you got to do something again. Doug Peterson won a Super Bowl 4 years ago. He's already gone in Philadelphia. In college, Ed Orgeron won a title 2 years ago. He's already gone at LSU. So while you can sit here and say, Vrabel's our guy, Vrabel's going to be the guy for the long haul, Vrabel's going to be like Belichick, where he's here for 20 years, let's remember, it doesn't actually work like that in the NFL. Guys win Coach of the Year all the time. Kevin Stefanski won Coach of the Year last year in Cleveland, and right now I don't think they're very happy with him. So I do wonder that, though. How do you feel about Vrabel with all the success they've had this year, even if he does or doesn't win Coach of the Year? And then I think the other question, too, that I think is pretty interesting when it comes to Vrabel and Robinson is look at who you compete with around the league, in the AFC specifically. Because as I've told you guys, I'll worry about the NFC once you get to the Super Bowl. Once you play the Packers, or once you've got 2 weeks to get ready for Dallas or Tom Brady, then I'll worry about that. But think about this. Is there a team that you could play in the playoffs that you don't feel like you've got a good shot with Mike Vrabel coaching? And that's a question I'm asking to you. That's not my opinion. Don't take my tone and say, well, Jared Stillman said that Vrabel can go up against any coach, because that's not what I'm saying. But I'm asking you that. As far as the Titans are concerned, you love Vrabel right now. You think Vrabel should be Coach of the Year. Do you feel like going into the playoffs that you can out-coach or outsmart any coach who's going to be in the playoffs? And I will say it like this. When Vrabel played the Rams, and don't just think about the result, because it's easy to say, well, Belichick's in the AFC, Andy Reid's in the AFC. Those guys are better coaches than Vrabel because they're going to go to the Hall of Fame. But Vrabel has played Belichick three times. He's 2-1, a playoff win. And I'd argue in all three games, Mike Vrabel has outcoached Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, the greatest coach of all time, certainly the greatest coach of my generation, I think Mike Vrabel has had a better game plan in three games against Bill Belichick. What about Andy Reid? This was a big game. We talked about it before Kansas City came in here. We said this is a big game for Kansas City to prove to everybody that they have turned it around. And Vrabel absolutely smoked them. I don't know how much of it was a game plan. I don't know how much of it was the Titans' defense just took advantage of them. But then the next week, they played the Rams, or 2 weeks later, excuse me, they played the Rams without Derrick Henry. And the Titans absolutely pummeled Matthew Stafford. And Chris Collinsworth is on TV talking about it took the Rams a half to realize they got to move Matthew Stafford in the pocket. And Sean McVay, he's boy wonder in the NFL. And I think Vrabel outcoached him. Now, I thought when Sean Payton and the Saints came in here, and the Saints might make the playoffs, they probably won't, but they might. But when they came in here, I thought Sean Payton outcoached Vrabel. I thought he had a great game plan. They moved Trevor Siemian around. They threw at Chris Jackson on every play. Defensively, they were all over the Titans except for Marcus Johnson. So this is kind of the question I have for you. I know you all want Mike Vrabel to win Coach of the Year. I get it. Should Mike Vrabel win Coach of the Year? He's got a pretty strong case. Is he going to win Coach of the Year? Most of the people on television are saying he's going to win it. And the truth is, of all the people who vote on these awards, they all watch that TV stuff. The media, it's almost all groupthink. That's why when Titans Twitter develops a narrative, the local media 90% of the time runs with that narrative as one collective group. Then I say the opposite and everybody gets mad at me. Like Julio Jones, when that first came out, Twitter, could the Titans get Julio Jones? And the media was like, no. And then all of a sudden, the media was like, you know, Julio, that might be worth it. It might. I'm like, no. And then they ended up signing him, and everyone's like, oh, what do you think now, Jared? And now I said, what do you all think now? But this is kind of an interesting dynamic here, is how good are Vrabel and Robinson? And I'm saying this in a society in which we live week to week in the NFL. The NFL is the ultimate microcosm of American society. One week you're the best, one week you're the worst. When the Titans beat the Saints, and it gave them, I believe, 6 wins in a row at one point in the year. Derrick Henry had been gone for 2 games. The Titans were sitting pretty in first place. They beat the Saints because the Saints couldn't kick any extra points. And we had a caller call in that day. And he said, I think you've got to give all the credit to Vrabel and Robinson. And I said, breaking news. The callers and the fans are happy with the coach and the general manager when the team wins. Titans lost 2 in a row, including the Texans. And I mean, the phone lines were, J-Rob screwed this up. Why is Cody Hollister at wide receiver? Why has the draft been so bad? Why is it is so weak to week. It's not even year to year anymore. It is not even month to month. It is week to week in the NFL. A month ago, Belichick was back, the greatest coach of all time. Nobody can beat him. And now I don't hear anybody talking about Belichick like that anymore because they lost a couple of games. They lost to the Colts on the road. Okay. Got a punt block. The end. Okay, so Bill went into that Colts game, the greatest coach who ever lived, and now Bill's average after that because Buffalo beat him the second time. Come on, people. So this is more so an overall question about Vrabel and Robinson. And it's a big one. And I think you can take both guys individually or you could take them together however you'd like to see it. But the question is, how much do you believe in them after this season? How much do you believe in them going into the postseason? Especially Vrabel. Because while I was opposed to firing Mike Mularkey, and I still think Mike Mularkey was a good coach and will never get credit for being a good Titans coach, Vrabel in 4 seasons will now go to the playoffs 3 times. And things are looking really, really good. The other question for Vrabel, and I'm not sure this is so much a Robinson thing as much as it is a Vrabel thing, is how much does how this season end define the long-term future for Mike Vrabel? Or how much you believe in Mike Vrabel going forward? Because if the Titans, for instance, get the number 1 seed, or God forbid lose to the Texans, will you feel the same way you feel today? And that's, to me, kind of the big question here. I was listening to Boston Talk Radio, and they were talking about going into the playoffs. Is Belichick back? What about these other coaches in the AFC? Zach Taylor in Cincinnati, 2 terrible years. Nobody ever thought about him. Nobody ever cared about him. Then he wins some games in Cincinnati, and everybody's like, hey, look at the job that Zach Taylor's done. But do you trust Zach Taylor in the playoffs? Sean McDermott's won a lot of games in Buffalo. Do you trust him in the playoffs? Andy Reid, until he beat the Titans and went to the Super Bowl and won it with Mahomes, Andy Reid was known for losing in the playoffs. We already think that Frank Reich and the Chargers coach goes for it on every 4th down, and it's cost him a couple of games this year. Frank Reich probably beats the Titans if he doesn't go for it on 4th-and-3. Brandon Staley probably beats the Chiefs if he doesn't go for it on 4th-and-5. So what do we think about Vrabel? compared to his peers? What do we think about Vrabel and the future of the organization? And what do we think about Vrabel and Robinson, coach of the year, executive of the year, and what it means for their legacies with the Titans? 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. It's easy when you're winning to say you love the coach. It's easy. It's easy to love the coach when you're winning. What you've got to do and what they've got to do is you've got to be able to decipher, are they winning because of the coach? Are they winning because of the GM? 615-737-1025. And I keep going back to that Patriots game because even though the Titans lost by double digits, I still believe that was one of Vrabel's best coaching efforts of the season. That game was played in Foxborough the way they wanted to play it. And that's all you can ask from your coach. Titans went to Foxborough in a playoff game in 2003. Steve McNair threw a fourth down bomb of a prayer, and it hit Drew Bennett in the hands and fell to the ground. It's not Jeff Fisher's fault. That's not Floyd's fault. They catch that ball, they might beat the Patriots. They beat the Patriots. Bill Belichick told Floyd, that was the hardest game we played. That's the best team we played. Maybe the Titans win a Super Bowl. What's that do to Fisher and Floyd's legacies? 615-737-1025 is our phone number. FanDuel Sportsbook, my official sportsbook app. Before I tell you about FanDuel, though, coming up next, I do have a thought about the AFC playoffs. And it's a thought that requires a lot of layers surrounding Vrabel and the coaching matchups. We'll get to that coming up next. FanDuel Sportsbook is my official sportsbook app. You can use the promo code JGM. College football playoff is coming up. The championship to celebrate, FanDuel is hooking up new customers with 30-1 enhanced odds on either team to win. And this means you can bet $5 to win $150 on either team to win it all. And I'm going to go with Alabama because, again, we're talking about great coaches. I ain't betting against great coaches. Sign up with the FanDuel Sportsbook app using the promo code JGM and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. There's no better place to bet the college football championship than on America's number one sportsbook app. It's as simple and easy to use with a great new offer every day. It's safe and secure. And when you win, FanDuel will pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. They're also hooking up customers who already have FanDuel Sportsbook with $50 when you refer a friend, and your friend will get $50 too. Use the promo code JGM for the 30-1 odds on the national championship game. 21 and older and present in Tennessee. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in a designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Damian, you think Vrabel should win Coach of the Year?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that Mike Vrabel has done a tremendous job. Again, I just touch upon the injuries. You know, again, I talk about King Henry and how he, you know, ties into the identity of the Tennessee Titans. You lose him for a good chunk of the season. You play without Julio Jones, A.J. Brown, you know, pieces along on the defensive side of the football, guys missing on the offensive line. And through all of that, he has the Tennessee Titans right now on the cusp of being the number one seed and home field advantage.
There you go. That was Damian Woody on ESPN today saying, of course, Vrabel's coach of the year. By the way, one of the things that's going to be interesting about the national media and Vrabel is half the people that are on the national media, like, those guys all played with Vrabel. Damian Woody played with Vrabel, and he's pumping his tires. Rodney Harrison, we played that yesterday. He played with Vrabel. He's pumping his tires. I mean, that's got to at least count for something. But again, Mike Tannenbaum, coach of the year should be Vrabel. Right there, Damian Woody, coach of the year should be Vrabel. So they're all talking about Vrabel, and coach of the year is such a subjective award. It never really takes all the coaching into account because you never know exactly what the coaching is. But I was thinking about this today. Jeff Fisher never won Coach of the Year, including 2002. And I bring up 2002 because the Titans started off 1-4. Javon Curse broke his foot, and the Titans ended up 11-5. They had the number two seed, a first round bye in the AFC playoffs. Steve McNair was an MVP candidate, And I don't even know how close Jeff Fisher got. Andy Reid won the award that year. Jeff Fisher beat Andy Reid. And I'm not a Jeff Fisher fan. You guys know I can't stand Jeff Fisher. But I was surprised Fisher didn't – I mean, maybe he finished second. I don't know, but I was surprised. And I'm thinking about Vrabel, and I'm like, is Vrabel an elite coach? Like, he's going to win Coach of the Year this year, I think. The Titans, any time in his 4 years, any time that they have played a premier opponent, they've shown up, except for last year at Green Bay. Other than that, any time that they played a big-time opponent, whether it was Brady and the Patriots here, whether it was Dak Prescott and the Cowboys on Monday Night Football, whether it was the Rams on Sunday Night Football, whether it was the Chiefs here in 2019, whether it was the Chiefs in the AFC title game where they got up 17-7, whether it was the Ravens in the playoffs, the Patriots in the playoffs, every time it feels like, we've talked about the Mike Vrabel special, every time it feels like a premium opponent, they go out there and play a great game. That's a sign of an elite coach. So, I ask this question to you, Caroline. AFC coaches, without ranking them, without saying Belichick 1 or Andy Reid 2 or something like, because Vrabel has outcoached those guys. Do you think Titan fans look at their coach going into the AFC playoffs and say, just like you would your quarterback? Like, right. I think Cincinnati fans can look at their quarterback and say, hey, we can go in with this quarterback and play anybody. Do you think the Titans have a coach who is good enough to take them and to win the Super Bowl?
Do I think that, or do I think Titans fans think that?
What do you think? And then we'll get to the phones on what the Titans fans think.
I think yes. Yes, because, I mean, I'll take just the small sample size of the year that I've been covering the Titans. And the Titans have been dealt some pretty bad cards in terms of injuries. I mean, they drafted a player that could barely even produce anything on the field, and we've lost him for the rest of the year. Losing your franchise running back and the player who you built your offense around, and then continuously losing two of your top two wide receivers. I mean, this team, and we all know it, this team has gone through so much this year, yet they continue to win. And even games they don't win, I mean, they're games that they could have won that unfortunately mistakes just got in the way of that. And I think that that comes from Mike Vrabel. And you look at games like the Rams, games like the Chiefs, games like the Bills, even when Derrick Henry was healthy for those games, those were games that that team was ready for. And I think that all is a result of Mike Vrabel. And of course, we don't know what goes on in the locker room. You know, we don't know what goes on in the headset. We don't know what Mike Vrabel says behind closed doors. But you have to think that it's become a trend that the Titans play up to their opponents. And of course, we've talked about the other side of that, Titans playing down to their opponents as well. But I think the ability to get hyped up for the opponents, the teams that really honestly have better personnel than you do, I think that is a result of Mike Vrabel. I mean, I am a Mike Vrabel fan, and I am fully on board for Mike Vrabel Coach of the Year.
So here's where I almost go back to the Tannenbaum clip, where he said Vrabel Coach of the Year and Robinson Executive of the Year. And I have a hard time seeing Robinson as the executive of the year. I'm sorry. And I love Robinson, but I have a hard time with this draft class and the Julio Jones trade and saying, executive of the year, this guy. That's just me. But I think the biggest thing is the defensive line. Like, I think that that's the biggest thing is that the Titans defensive line, and this is, I think, a tally in Robinson's column as much as anything. You know, he tried to go cheap last year. He went risky last year on the defensive line. And you would say, wait a minute, Clowney and Beasley, that was a combined $20 million. Right, but there was no big commitment there. It was like 9.5 here for Beasley, 12.5 for Clowney. All right, see you guys. You guys do whatever, and then I don't have to worry about anything after this. These guys, I mean, this is long-term commitment type stuff with Bud Dupree. It's a decent-sized commitment with Domenico Autry. He found Naquan Jones. I mean, the defensive line is what I think makes the Titans go this season as much as anything. I think it won them the Rams game. I think it won them the second Colts game. I mean, I think it won them the Chiefs game. I think the defensive line is legit. And last year when Vrabel had no defensive line, they were terrible. And so it's like, is it Vrabel that turned that around? Is it Vrabel that last year when they couldn't figure out defense, they didn't change anything? I mean, like, that's the way I'm looking at it. Like, when I think of an elite coach, I think the one thing about Vrabel that makes this team elite is that they can get up for anybody. Now, we talk about the downside of losing to the bad teams, and this is where the rest of the story has to be written, which is if they lose this Sunday to the Texans and they go an entire season where they would have been the number one seed in the AFC, if they could have just beaten either the Jets, Texans, Steelers, or Texans, then we'll look at this and say, what is the matter with this guy that can't get his team up against bad opponents? But we're not going to get somebody in trouble for something they haven't done yet. But he also hasn't gotten them the one seed. He also hasn't taken them to the Super Bowl. I think back to the last couple of seasons in which the Titans played in the playoffs, I thought Vrabel outcoached Belichick in the first game, though I thought that was just bad coaching from Bill. And when Floyd kind of publicly echoes that sentiment that it was bad coaching from Bill, which, I mean, that Bill was like his best friend, that tells you something. I thought he completely outcoached Harbaugh. Harbaugh wanted to go for it every time. The Titans stood, defensive line again, Titans stood on those fourth downs and took their shots on the Ravens. I thought in the second half of the AFC title game against Kansas City, I thought Vrabel got outcoached. You know, that game, the Titans had a lead, and then Mahomes pulled ahead, and then Andy Reid took the air out of the ball. They scored that one touchdown running the football, and Derrick Henry went to the sideline, and Vrabel didn't look at the game and say, okay, fine, you want to run it, I'll run it too. And I didn't even think about that until Floyd brought it up, you know, the following Monday. Last year's game against the Ravens, I thought Vrabel coached okay. I thought Tannehill was way worse than Vrabel. If I had to put the reason the Titans lost to Baltimore, you know, as we talk about giving Robinson a tally for the defensive line, I would give Tannehill a tally for the Ravens' loss last year. Because that Vrabel made one really bad mistake, the punting on fourth and two, like at the 38-yard line or whatever in the fourth quarter. That was the one bad mistake from Vrabel. The play before, Tannehill misses Cam Batson, who's standing wide open in the middle of the field doing a jumping jack on third and two. Two Ravens defenders go with Jonnu Smith. Tannehill throws the ball to Jonnu Smith. If Tannehill throws the ball in the middle of the field to Cam Batson, that's first and goal at the six. And Tannehill missed him. The interception that cost him the game, Khalif Raymond got bumped, and Tannehill threw the interception. A.J. Brown's wide open on the other side. Those are throws the quarterback can't miss in the playoffs. So I blame Tannehill more for the Ravens' loss than I do for Vrabel. So in the playoffs, Vrabel is kind of, you know, 2-1-ish as far as out-coaching these guys. I think at least that's worth bringing up when we sit here and talk about, okay, AFC playoffs, round one, it's Sean McDermott and Buffalo in here. Because Titan fans will tell you, oh, yeah, they got the better coach. But Vrabel is, you know, so-so in the playoffs. And I think that's at least worth discussing. If Vrabel wins a Super Bowl, it totally changes his legacy around here. Vrabel gets knocked out in the first round as the number one seed by Rich Bisaccia and the Las Vegas Raiders. That probably changes the way we feel about it.
And I think another caveat too here is, you know, we're talking about John Robinson being potentially exec of the year, and you said no because of the picks, because of the Julio Jones trade. And I would say that's almost a bigger feather in Vrabel's cap. The reasons why you don't think that John Robinson should be executive of the year, sure, because of the blown draft picks and because of signing Julio Jones and pumping a bunch of money into Julio Jones that could have gone into a tight end, another wide receiver, so on and so forth, that the Titans were able to win games in spite of some of John Robinson's mistakes this past year. And I think that's on.
Sometimes I think, though, when it comes to, like, coaching in the playoffs, because I think we're talking about two different things. I think Vrabel, coach of the year, sure. Okay.
Okay.
Like, I think the coach of the year award is given to a guy whose team stunk last year, which is why I think Zach Taylor, you know, I thought Zach Taylor was going to win it until all of television turned into a Mike Vrabel infomercial. So now I think Vrabel's going to win it. But I'm fine with Vrabel winning it. The big thing is
playoff
coaching,
conversation.
Coaching in the games. Vrabel has had a great feel this season for coaching, you know, the game itself, the feel. Because I remember some of these going for it's not going for it's, and just the bitching that we had for like 3 years with Vrabel about some of the decisions that he made in some of these games. And so far this year, I feel like his feel has been pretty good. I brought that up when he decided to kick the field goal to go up 10-0 last week, and I thought it was the right call at the right time given the circumstances. It's not like a blackjack card. Football is not blackjack. The cards never change in blackjack. football, the weather changes, the opponent changes, your team changes. All those things are accurate. And Vrabel has done a great job with that feel this year. 615-737-1025. We will get to your calls and texts. 615-737-1025 on a snowy day in Nashville. But also coming up next, why one ESPN analyst is A, against Vrabel for Coach of the Year, but also, I think, off his rocker when it comes to his opinion on the Titans. We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman and Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Hey, this week we've got three games starting on Saturday at 7:15 with the Cowboys and the Eagles on ESPN 94.9. Then on Sunday we got two games going on at once. 3:25, the Seahawks and the Cardinals on 1025 The Game, and the 49ers take on the Rams on ESPN 94.9. The NFL Games of the Week on 1025 The Game and 94.9 are brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. Stillman and Company, TD at the top of next hour. It's ESPN 1025 The Game.
Matt LaFleur.
Tell me, Dan, who's done a better job?
Matt LaFleur. I just did. Matt LaFleur should be and is and has been the coach of the year. So I'm ready for this one, Wood. First of all, this is his third straight year of winning 13 games. At some point, can we not acknowledge the guy is a fantastic coach? If he can't win Coach of the Year in one of those three seasons, then we got a flawed system. Now, Mike Vrabel's been outstanding. I agree, the injuries. But if you look at, first of all, expectations for teams. We thought Tennessee was going to be good this year. We thought Tennessee or Indy was going to win that division. That has happened. We also
To be number one seed good?
Did you think Green Bay, given what transpired from basically the NFL draft time last year and the conversation all offseason and the question of Aaron Rodgers if he was going to go there or not, and then is he going to show up at training camp, did you think that the Green Bay Packers would be a 13-win team and the number one NFC team? Because I did not.
Just freaking ridiculous. Did you think Green Bay was going to be good? What? Dan Orlovsky, I call him Skip Bayless with a telestrator.
I feel like a lot of people call you something similar.
I don't have a telestrator. This is the difference. I just tell
Skip
you whatever
Bayless
I think.
With a microphone?
Well, Skip has a microphone. But, like, I just tell people Skip Bayless with a smaller salary. I just tell people what I think. Dan Orlovsky does like this thing where he's like, I played football at quarterback. I can show you the film because I'm a guru. And so you can see right here what you don't understand that I understand. And I'm like, then you go out and you tell me that Matt LaFleur has done more with less than Mike Vrabel. Really? Like, who expected Green Bay to be good? I mean, hell, last year.
Everyone.
Only the number one seed. And this is the other thing about Dan Orlovsky, which is why, again, I call him Skip Bayless with a telestrator. If you're a guy who just has opinions, like, I may disagree with your opinions, but I at least understand where you're coming from. Orlovsky tries to act like he's some super football guru, that he, like, breaks down all the film. One time I jumped Fitz when it came to Orlovsky, and Fitz was like, no, ESPN has a special setup for Orlovsky so he can watch film. And he just sits there in the cave and watches tape. And all of a sudden, I'm supposed to now think Dan Orlovsky is like Bill Belichick or Floyd. And I just will never believe that. This is the guy who went on his rant about how if you think that Justin Herbert is going to be better than Tua before the 2020 draft, then you don't understand football kind of rant. And I was like, wait a minute, what? So I just don't like how it's kind of like unauthentic. Inauthentic when it comes from Dan Orlovsky. By the way, you were at ESPN. Did you see his cave for watching film?
I never did see his cave. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of caves set up and none specifically for certain people. But I did work with Dan Orlovsky a few times. Nice guy.
He's a nice guy. I just think he's a total phony. And I'll give you an example of Dan Orlovsky being a phony. Because would you agree with me that he purports himself that he like watches all the tape and all the film and knows everything?
That he's Mr. Football and he knows everything and you know nothing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. This was his opinion. He doesn't think Vrabel should win Coach of the Year because he thinks Matt LaFleur should win Coach of the Year. This is what he thinks of the Titans, though.
I would tell you that I think the Titans have the executive of the year and John Robinson and the assistant coach of the year and Todd Downing, who took over for their offensive coordinator role.
Stop it right there. That's all I need to hear. That's... Now, look, we played the Tannenbaum clip where he said Robinson executive of the year. If you really want to dive into whether or not Robinson should be executive of the year, I can do that, because even though the drafting and the signing in the Julio trade was bad, like Bud Dupree, DeNico Autry, Buster Skrine, those guys have been good. So I could see that argument. I wouldn't give it to Robinson, but I could see that argument. Todd Downing, assistant coach of the year?
Absolutely not. He's not even the best assistant coach of the Titans.
What are we doing? That's why I'm telling you, like, everybody gets mad because Skip Bayless is on TV with a microphone. And so everybody that hates Skip Bayless really hates the platform that Skip Bayless is given. It's like, how can this crazy guy get up there and say all these crazy things? They're more mad at the people that put them on TV. My problem is ESPN is selling Dan Orlovsky, who got his job by doing film breakdowns on Twitter. See, this guy comes in over here and this guy does over like, and he now is like, we're supposed to treat him like he's, you know, the patron saint of it's like Pro Football Focus. It's all bullcrap. You cannot watch the Titans week in and week out and tell me Todd Downing should be assistant coach of the year. Let's get to your phone. 615-737-1025. That really got up my crawl when I heard that today. Phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com on a snowy day. I would advise this. Please, if you're driving and listening to the show, do not text in and do not call in if you're driving. If you're at home watching us on YouTube, or if you're stopped somewhere, or if you're at your office listening on the app or listening on the actual radio or whatever, feel free to text in and call in. Let's go to your phones. What do we have, Caroline?
One texter texts in and says, I think Vrabel will win coach of the year. I want him to win, but I would also make a strong case for Zach Taylor and Matt LaFleur.
Why? What does Matt – I don't understand what Matt LaFleur gets. Taylor's got a fair case.
Because he coaches currently the best team in the NFL. And
that's never been the prerequisite before.
I just think that's what people are looking at Matt LaFleur, first of all, because everyone on ESPN is talking about how Matt LaFleur should be coach of the year. So I feel like that's a trickle-down effect. And another is, when you're a coach of a good team, everyone wants to say that you are going to be the best coach.
But Stefanski was coach of the year last year, and his team was a wild card. And Kevin Stefanski deserved coach of the year last year. You brought a Belichick. I think Belichick, I would give the award to Belichick before I would give it to LaFleur. That team was terrible. They're going to be in the playoffs, the rookie quarterback.
And that's like, what I'm saying, is that Bill Belichick is a good coach because he has proven that he is able to win even when he doesn't have the best quarterback of all time. He's proven that he's able to get to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback who wasn't even in the top three of the best quarterbacks in that class.
I mean, right now, I heard somebody say today, I think it was Sean Salisbury was on with the Midday Show, and he was like, yeah, if you redrafted today, Trevor Lawrence still goes number one. And it's like, we get excited about Mac Jones for a two-month period, and yet if you were to redo it all over again, they're still taking Trevor Lawrence number one. That's because Bill has, you know, put a muzzle on Mac so that he literally does what Bill wants him to do, and Bill can win any game with Mac Jones if the game doesn't get out of hand. If the game gets out of hand, let's say they're playing the Titans, and early in the game, the Titans score a touchdown on the opening drive, and this is why Bill's got the number one defense and has to have the number one defense. But if it gets out of hand, now Mac's got to throw. They got a punt blocked against the Colts. Game got out of hand. Now Mac has to throw. You all saw the result. That's the key to beating the Patriots. But Bill's done a great job this year. Nick Sirianni with Jalen Hurts, I think they've done a good job. I think if the Saints get into the playoffs, I'd give the award to Sean Payton before I'd give it to Matt LaFleur. The people that love Matt LaFleur, you want to say he's a great coach, it's hard to argue with the 3 years of success that they've had. Now, I want to see what he does without Aaron Rodgers, but okay, fine, whatever. But coach of this year? I mean, Orlovsky, one of his takes was, he was 13-3 the last 3 years. Shouldn't that earn something? This ain't coach of last year.
It's coach of this year.
Ain't coach of the year before that. So I think it's crazy if they give it to LaFleur. Plus, I feel like for the most part, the national media has gone with Vrabel on this one. I think Vrabel's going to win the award. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. TD at the top of next hour. He will have a full report from what he saw Derrick Henry yesterday. No practice viewing today because of the snow there inside the bubble. Coming up next, though, as the Antonio Brown world turns, an AB update from both sides. We'll get to that next. Stillman & Company right here. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Just when we thought Antonio Brown was gone for good, we got a lot more drama in the Antonio Brown saga. I really need to get off of Twitter because I think it just makes me mad. I think that that happens with a lot of society. Like, Twitter just makes them mad. Like, they just hate everything about what's going on in their lives because they're on their phones all the time and they see, you know, people on Instagram or, again, Twitter. But so I saw last night on Twitter, Adam Schefter has a lengthy statement from Antonio Brown. And I'm like, that's interesting. A lengthy statement from Antonio Brown. And you and I both know, Caroline, that Antonio Brown did not write that. First of all, I'd like to express my gratitude towards the Bucks fans and my teammates. Yeah, that really sounds like Antonio Brown. So Antonio Brown releases a statement. Basically, my ankle was hurt. Bruce Arians made me get in the game when I said I wouldn't go in. Bruce Arians told me to get out of there, which is a pretty big accusation. The problem with big accusations from Antonio Brown is that they come from Antonio Brown. So last night I saw that Antonio Brown was accusing the Buccaneers of mistreating his injury. Did you believe Antonio Brown?
No.
Okay. Nobody believes Antonio Brown. I've seen like eight
Antonio
people.
Brown has given no one the reason to believe him.
Well, I've seen like 15 people put up videos that are like, you know, this is my take today from my show that I don't believe Antonio Brown. Nobody believes Antonio Brown.
That's not a hot take.
The only time to put up a video is if you do believe Antonio Brown. And this is what, and I love this, Bruce Arians today, you know, the Bucks put out a statement basically that, you know, we've tried to address the situation with Antonio. He won't address the situation about his injury because you can't cut injured players. Like, that is against the rules. You got to have an injury settlement as part of the collective bargaining agreement. And so it's serious if AB's telling the truth. The problem is nobody thinks AB's telling the truth because for 4 years we've seen headlines like Antonio Brown throwing furniture off of a building. We've seen headlines like Antonio Brown fake vaccination card, or headlines like Antonio Brown texting sexual assault accuser. You know, the things that you shouldn't do. Here was Bruce Arians' reply today to AB saying, I was too hurt to play.
So obviously that was the disturbing thing when we were looking for him to go back into the game. All right, we always had, he was very upset at halftime about who was getting targeted. Got that calmed down. Players took care of that. It started again on the sideline. We called for the personnel group that he had played in the entire game. He refused to go in the game. That's when I looked back and saw him basically wave off the coach. I then went back, approached him about what was going on. I ain't playing. What's going on? I ain't getting the ball. That's when I said, you're done. Get the F out of here. And that's the end of it. And we're working on Carolina. That's the end of the story. And hopefully it ends today.
So I now have that side from Arians. Adam Schefter also reported that Antonio Brown's agent wanted his incentives for this season to be paid out, which normally you have to earn your incentives. So the Bucks said no. And so all of a sudden, and this is what I don't listen to one person. Like, when it comes to history, I don't read one book or watch one documentary and say, that's what this was. No, I read a lot of books, and I watch a lot of history. I've seen The Last Dance. I'm reading Scottie Pippen's book, because even though it's probably all bullcrap, there's at least Scottie's side of the story. And when things align with Michael's side of the story and Scottie's side of the story, that means you know it's the truth. So I'm going to tell you from everything that I've figured out about how Antonio Brown works, it probably wasn't Mike Mayock being a racist. It probably wasn't Big Ben and Mike Tomlin. It probably wasn't Robert Kraft's fault. And it's probably not Bruce Arians. But it's probably that Antonio Brown wasn't getting the football and he was looking at his incentives in his contract, because Antonio Brown is selfish and has always been selfish. And he took himself out of the game. By the way, is anyone going to believe Antonio Brown when we saw him hopscotching in the end zone his way off the field? My ankle was too hurt. I hate to say this. I'm tired of Antonio Brown. I just hope we never have to deal with him again. That's all I ask.
Well, in his statement, he says, you know, there's a difference between lining up and going up against DBs and, you know, lightly jogging off the field when you're full of adrenaline. What? What? No, quit backtracking. Admit that what you did was wrong.
Well, he's never going to do that.
But you said, you know, I hate to say this, but can we be done with Antonio Brown? Why do you hate to say that? He's gotten way too many chances. He's like a cat with nine lives. I don't know if any other athlete or person that has done that many things that are that despicable and he continues to get more chances. So I am sick of and tired of hearing about Antonio Brown, and I'm not sorry. I'm not saying I hate to say it. I don't hate to say it at all. I'm sick and tired of all of his antics. And if there's another team that signs him, then that's their problem now. They can really deal with the fake vaccination cards and the fake ankle injury.
No, because someone will sign him. No. Kick him out of the league. Just kick him out. I'm done. I'm done with Antonio Brown. I'm just over it. I'm done. Just kick him out of the league. It's bad for children to see Antonio Brown get all the opportunities that he's been getting. It's bad. And it's time. You know, I mean, he's crossed everybody, whether it was Robert Kraft, whether it was Big Ben, whether it was Bill Belichick, whether it was Bruce Arians, whether it was Tom Brady. Like, all these people are going to the Hall of Fame. Maybe not Arians, maybe Arians. That's a lot. Derrick Henry was on the practice field yesterday. What did the foot look like? Not just the videos that we all saw on TV and Twitter and everything else, but what did it look like? TD was there. The TD Power Hour is next right here on a snowy day. Please, if you're on the roads right now, I hear the interstate is a mess and that when it gets dark outside, and it will be dark soon, that it will be a nightmare. Please, if you do not have to be on the roads, do not be on the roads. TD will join us next. Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.